Send a movie idea.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where a reading from the script will replace the classified results every Saturday on 5Live. I'm Joel, a man who puts the pathetic in sympathetic, and across from me is John Harris, a man who has definitely remembered that this is broadcast on my birthday and is about to present me with my gift. What is it, John?
We've got a suggestion from Muscles Tom this week.
Have we?
Does that work?
It works if it's about my birthday. As this goes out, John, I turn 31 years old. As a 31-year-old man, have you got any advice for me?
No, I sort of hate, I don't know. Everyone goes, you feel older. And then someone older goes, so you'll really feel old when you're my age. And but then you become that person looking at a 21-year-old saying, oh, I got a really bad hangover because I'm old. And you think, no, fuck off.
Yeah.
So that's all I have to say.
That's pretty good advice. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you. I think that should be the one that people sing when the cake comes out now.
Yeah, a bit of Stevie.
A bit of controversy on this podcast for once.
Well, maybe this will make us a hit.
Can you handle that, Snowflakes?
Can you?
I know everyone knows this, but on the off chance that one person listening doesn't know this, you know that the happy birthday to was like under copyright until recently. So a family who wrote that not hundreds of years ago, but a very long time ago.
Were the richest people in the world.
They were richer than Bill Gates.
Jonathan Birthday, the inventor of the birthday.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Hey, John, what about some film ideas? What about some birthday film ideas?
Oh, yeah.
Here's one from Martin. Naked Gun, Maverick, which I guess it works on every level. Now, John, does this mean, finally, something we've campaigned for quite a long time, we finally get to see Tom Cruise naked?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess we could go that we could go that way. I thought it was Naked Gun as in the comedy films.
Of course it is.
But I mean, also nudity, right?
He's the U.S. military's first naked pilot.
I mean, I don't want to speculate about Tom Cruise's penis because I assume that there's a lot of people who will come after me. So I'm sure it's lovely and normal.
The Scientologists aren't going to come for you if you say Cruise has got a big wang, are they?
Well, they're more likely to come after me if I say he's got a tiny wang, right?
You said it.
But also, that's such an archaic view of importance of wang size.
Which is your other podcast, isn't it?
Importance of wang size with John Harris. Yeah, yeah. It's me constantly defending tiny penises. And one day, I'll take it to court.
I think it's just Top Gun in its entirety, but everyone's naked. And it doesn't get mentioned once.
Because the problem is, if you go down the sort of... Why can't I think of Leslie...
Graham?
No. Who's the guy who's Naked Gun?
Grantham.
Oh my God. Joel, we should be kicked out of podcasting for not... Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, that's my third guess.
If you go down the Leslie Nielsen sort of parody plane movie, he's already made the greatest parody plane movie of all time.
Yeah. And there is some weird nudity in that film.
Of course.
It's the 80s.
It's... The only nudity I can think of is when they simulate oral sex on a inflatable pilot. Is that, no, is that
there's
the
boobs.
First airplane?
There's boobs, aren't there?
Yeah, probably. You're boobs. Right. Comedy films in the 80s sort of had to have boobs.
Sort of mandatory boobs. It's kind of ridiculous, really. Like, at some point, do you think it happened in the writing process or in the shooting process where they would say, well, this is the time for the boobs?
I think it happened. I would imagine one time a parody film made in the 80s that, you know, of that nature, of that ilk, went to test screenings and all of the people came out just absolutely baffled. Just, they couldn't compute what they had seen. Where were the boobies?
Where were the boobies? The first comedy film that didn't feature boobs. It's just blew people's minds.
It's like, yeah, so that famous story of people running away from the train, you know.
From the train.
The 1905 train thing. The people were running away from the screening, just not being able to compute.
The credits rolled. The credits rolled, and there was like this realization in the screening cinema that they hadn't seen any boobs, and they run out into the street just desperate to see some boobs. But I reckon it's exclusively the 80s. No, it's not exclusively the 80s. I'm talking out of my arse.
You got carried on.
No, introduced to the
you?
Film An American Pie. Is it still going on? I don't think it goes on anymore.
No, I think post-American Pie, well, not post-American, post whatever came after the seven American Pies, I think people sort of went, let's
When do you think the most recent American Pie was?
Oh, that's a great question.
And how do you even find that out? There isn't like a Wikipedia for American Pie like there is the Marvel Universe, which is a shame.
Is there not?
No, American Pie.
I can't believe that.
All movies. John, would you do a American Pie movie marathon with me?
Yeah. Will it be content? Because I'll only do it if it's going to be content.
Everything's content, John. We haven't had a conversation that isn't content in the last 10 years. Okay, John, I want your guess for when the most recent American Pie movie was.
And can I have an extra point for saying that I'm sure Eugene Levy is definitely in it at some point?
Yes, you can have an extra point if that's correct. He's not in it.
Okay.
But his name is on the Wikipedia page, so you get half a point, John. American Pie Presents Girls Rules came out. It's an American straight-to-DVD sex comedy film from the year of our Lord, 2020.
Flippin' hell.
The American Pie films ran from 1999 to 2020. That is astonishing, isn't it? It's the ninth in the series. There's as many as there are mainline Star Wars films, which has had the bigger cultural impact. It's impossible to say. It is the first film in the franchise to neither feature Eugene Levy or any nudity.
Whoa. That's very progressive of them not to include Eugene Levy.
Not to include Eugene Levy. I agree. A real break from them. I wonder whose decision that was, the film or Eugene Levy's? Eugene Levy say, 8 is enough American Pie films. A man has to draw a line in the sand. So Eugene, we want you to be in the new American Pie film. Great, 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 great. And one little thing about the film is there isn't any nudity. I'm out.
his star has sort of reascended with Schitt's Creek though, hasn't it? So I wonder if he's like,
very good point. Yeah, you're completely right. It does star Danny Trejo. He's probably the biggest name in it, but I mean, what won't he be in, you know? I kind of want to just stop doing this podcast and read the plot synopsis is surprisingly long on Wikipedia, so we won't do it.
It's a shame,
but that's what I'm doing with my evening.
What I will say, listener, is I don't think we've had any American Pie ones, and the word pie is a very rhymeable word, so I want a barrage of American Pie pun suggestions going forward, please. Thank you very much. What about this one from Sophie?
I have to give you the final line of the plot synopsis of what's it called again? American Pie Girls Rules. The final line of the plot synopsis, which I will be reading later, is they all end up having sex with their respective partners.
Ah, lovely.
And it was all a dream. The end. They all ended up having sex with their respective partners.
I sort of want to watch this one. I don't want to do the whole...
I want to watch them all.
Yeah, I know you
Me
do.
And you. Non-stop. One.
But you know, like...
24 hours, and we have to eat pie. We can only eat pies.
That's okay. They're savoury pies and they're sweet pies.
That's quite a good idea. Pair each film with a pie.
Because... It's all going to be depressing because as time goes on, they're going to get depressing because they're worse quality films. Mm-hmm. But also right at the beginning, we'll be watching them going, I can't believe this sex crime was viewed as okay by the masses at the time. Yeah. So it's all depressing.
Listener, let us know if you want us to release a mini series of 9 episodes where we eat a pie and watch a pie. Because I think it might be our best idea yet.
Pie Guys.
That's really good. The Pie Guys. God damn it. That's it.
Right.
That's our hit. Right, come on.
What about this one from Sophie? Thor, Love and Chunder, the God of Thunder, goes to Magaluf.
Sensational. He does the fish out of water thing so well. How about a fishbowl out of water, John?
Have you ever consumed a fishbowl?
Yeah. A drink. A cocktail, no.
I don't think I ever have. It's just a big jug of cocktail in a comical dome,
It's in a comical dome. It's so big, yeah. Normally with several straws so you can all get in there.
Don't have that after COVID. Not anymore, mate.
Oh, has COVID killed the communal cocktail?
Bev, it's a great question.
I think it might have done. Is that the follow-up Buggles single?
Right, so Thor, he can drink a lot. We know that.
He can drink a lot.
He would have a better time of Magaluf than I would.
Well, didn't you go? Did you go to Magaluf?
I've done Magaluf.
One of the funniest things in the world is that John Harris went on a lad's holiday to Magaluf. It's more fish out of water than a Nordic god going on a lad's holiday to Magaluf.
The thing is, Joel, if I go to Magaluf now, I would be welcomed like a king. They haven't forgotten about my time there.
No. You left a real mark on Magaluf.
Yeah.
Never to be forgotten.
There's pictures of me.
You've got the only blue plaque outside of the UK.
John Harris had it large. 2010 or whatever it would have been.
Didn't you get really, really, really drunk? Aren't you one of the people that got so drunk on one specific booze they never had it again?
Yeah. Sambuca. Yeah. First night, Sambuca. Woke up on the street vomiting, thinking, I'm that guy. I'm the guy on the street at Magaluf vomiting.
I hope MTV aren't filming me. You've never had Sambuca since?
I think I may have been forced to have Sambuca since, but I would never choose
it. It's delicious. It's so delicious.
I don't. Yeah, but you like licorice. I'm not a licorice boy.
I love licorice. Is there a licorice pie?
Ugh. Pie guys will not be consuming licorice pie.
Well.
Is there a Christmas American pie?
There has to be.
Because then we can do this.
Yeah, of course. Lovely. That is lovely. I think this is our best ever idea. It's sort of really hard for me to focus on the rest of this show. Anyway, Thor goes to Magaluf. He absolutely has it large. But while hammered, there's the threat to planet Earth. That's fun, right?
Hammered. Joel, you said hammered.
Oh, come on.
We can use that. That's in the script. Yeah, there's a threat to Earth. He's smashed. He has to, you know, drunken fight. And
Have they done drunken fighting in Marvel yet? I don't think they have. It's probably they're probably weird about including booze when they're primarily kids' films. I want to see Thor in a fight, hammered, smoking a fag. Don't you?
Yeah, and there's a fun visual gag of him, like, he's throwing the hammer around and stuff, and he's sort of chucking his pint from one hand to another and doesn't drop a single drop of the liquid.
That's great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Lovely stuff. What about this one from Mixtaping Identity, Joel? We need to talk about that. Zombieland.
Okay. Some questions. Number one question, how do they get on Zoom? Number two question, why are we scared of them if they're all the way over there on Zoom?
Because they did Host, right? Mm-hmm. Which was the Zoom horror thing where they do a seance. But sort of spirits can travel from screen to screen, no problem.
Famously. Yeah. They're much more tech savvy than a zombie.
They can travel via Wi-Fi, which we all knew that.
Yeah.
But
that was one of the risks with inventing Wi-Fi. It was like, sure, you're going to be connected wherever you are in the world, but spooky ghouls are going to be able to travel through this. And we had to make that decision. Tim Berners-Lee, when he pressed the big button, he knew what he was doing, what he was unleashing on the world. People talk about the internet as being like
the A-bomb.
Exactly. And, you know, the internet, when people say, is it a force for good or force for evil? That conversation is often quite confused because the force for good, it's, you know, free access to information worldwide, shared ideas. And a force for evil, people often talk about cybercrime, dark web, things like that. That's not actually what people mean when they say that. They mean scary ghouls that can travel through Wi-Fi.
Absolutely. I think fundamentally, it's difficult to be scared of us.
It's a bit like,
we've had this before because we did I can't remember. We were doing some sort of Host one and you said about the idea if you on the Zoom call someone called the devil showed up, would you let them in?
Oh yeah, and, like,
yeah, so if you're just letting a zombie into your Zoom call, I think it would be more funny than anything.
But what would be scary is if a zombie walked into my room now and you had to witness it eating me alive.
True. Yeah, that would be scary. It's the powerlessness of sort of.
Yeah. What would you do?
Yeah. I'd call the police, and then they'd say, "Where is that person?" And I'd say, "Somewhere in London."
Yeah, they'd be like, "Yeah, we're getting a lot of calls like this."
Yeah, so yeah, it's a good point. I'd shout and hope that the zombie put the headphones on, and then we made a podcast together.
Oh no,
me and zombie.
It'd be like the end of Shaun of the Dead, where Ed's just still able to like carry out the basic task of playing a PlayStation and stuff in the shed, and you realise, I could have just replaced this guy with a brainless idiot years ago.
Exactly. Yep, I like it. What I want to talk about is mixtaping identity. We'll do that in the post, yeah?
We'll do that in the post. Don't let us forget it. Hey, how about this one? From Josh Pelvis. From the perspective of Elvis Presley's Pelvis, this true story takes us through the journey of how Pelvis Presley was used to tantalise audiences, but also the strain that the weight of his success had on him. The life story of Elvis's pelvis. His most interesting body part after the vocal cords, right? Or maybe the hair.
Some would argue it's the most exciting part of...
Well, it was banned Elvis from TV.
Yeah, and he was called Elvis the Pelvis, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't called Elvis the Great Singer.
Well, some people... I imagine people probably did say that.
Yeah, you're right. Some people
So this, we learn about his pelvis, the incredibly awkward conversations with the broadcasting companies when they said that Elvis can be on TV, but the pelvis can't. And Elvis strikes that deal. He cuts that deal. He cuts his pelvis out of the equation. We hear about the increased pressure on the pelvis as Elvis gets fatter and fatter over the course of his life.
Mm.
We see a lot of it on the toilet. That's not going to be fun.
No.
But that's the harsh reality of this situation.
In the interest of making it fun, can the pelvis be fully detachable? So when he does that performance on telly where they say, don't bring the pelvis
is sat side of stage, fuming.
Smoking a big old cigar.
Do you think it's the most famous pelvis of all time? It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Like, who else is challenging? Shakira?
Yes.
Only because she sings about her hips, not lying. She specifically references her hips.
So the pelvis is the bone structure around that area, right?
Yeah. Well done, John.
Yeah, because I don't think it's like... People don't really talk about pelvises. It's only because it rhymed with Elvis.
I actually really don't like thinking about the pelvis.
No.
You know, are there some bones in your body? Are there some bits of your body, John, that you don't like to think about too much? The fact that they're just there hanging out. The pelvis is one for me, because if you really have a good old feel of the pelvis, it's fucking mad. It's so weird. Like, there's nothing else. You know, everything else is... Look, I know biology. Every other bone in your body is just a straight line. Ribs, famously. Arms, legs, toes, fingers. Different sizes, sure, I'll grant them that. Straight lines. Skull, yeah, whatever. That's a different guy. Every other bone is a straight line. And then the pelvis, what's going on there?
Yeah, you're right.
It freaks me out, man.
The audacity.
The audacity.
I don't know what to tell you, Joel. The fact of the matter is, the pelvis is sort of just another way of saying, like, bum, isn't it, really? He's shaking his ass. Is he specifically his pelvis?
No, it's not the arse. It's not the arse.
You think it's the front bum?
100%. Mm. I don't think Elvis was shaking his bum. I think he was doing hips side to side, front on.
But then Shakira's hips not lying. Is that... Yeah, because she's going side to side. So she, I guess it is...
It's pelvis-y. All pelvis. Listener, can you let us know the third most famous pelvis? Are you about to argue she's got a more famous pelvis?
I just think what she's doing is more pelvis-y than Elvis. I think Elvis, you're right. He should have been called Elvis the penis. Simple.
Yeah, it's good.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken.
Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
John, would you like to do our ideas?
No.
Okay.
I'd like to do, seeing as it's your birthday, I'd like to do part one. Yes, part one of Muscles Tom's.
Oh, shit.
Idea.
Strap in.
So anyone who doesn't know, Muscles Tom is a man, he's more of a vibe than he is a man, and he sends us movie ideas that are incredibly long and detailed and sort of frequently about furniture, although the last one he sent to us was sort of like an action epic where a hero just sort of killed everyone for no reason. So anyway, hi guys. Hope you don't spook easily, as this week's tale of terror is sure to leave its mark.
Shit.
I sent this story over to Stephen King a while back. He sent it back to me in a bag of cinders. Surely a sign it terrified him. I was going to shock him even more with The Witches That Live Next Door. Brackets, not literally, of course. But unfortunately, the restraining order he now has placed on me prevents any further contact with him whatsoever. Clearly, he was deeply disturbed by what he read. Anyways, enjoy. Right, I'll give you part one. I think it's a two-parter. Yeah, so we can do this in two parts. Right, part one. The opening of our movie begins with rain pouring down on a miserable day in the big city. A pigeon can be seen looking down at busy traffic and bustling people below. The camera pans through a corridor of an office building and settles into a room which looks more like a study than an office. Very specific.
It's important, you know, to delineate, yeah.
Exactly, and he's really sort of painting a picture with words, which I would say is an evolution of his writing style. Peter, our leading man, has his head in his hands as he sobs. "Now listen here, Peter," says an intelligible, posh English man. He is Peter's solicitor. "Your grandmother is dead," he continues. "Now, we mustn't dwell on the past, dear boy. The question is, what the devil do you intend to do about this blasted mansion?" Peter looks up, his eyes redder than the sun. He looks like he's been crying forever and a day. "What?" asks Peter with an element of surprise in his eyes. "It appears, my dear boy, your late grandmother went senile in her final days, cut everyone out of her will, except you. It's all yours." "I don't understand," quizzes Peter. "Blast it, man," replies the solicitor as he slams his whiskey down on the desk. "It doesn't matter what you understand. It only matters what you intend to do." Very aggressive, drinking whiskey, old school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We weren't given a time, but I'm imagining we're in like the 70s now.
Yeah, I was picturing kind of 70s.
I just think solicitors aren't drinking whiskey in the office anymore, an office that looks like a study. "And what should I do?" Peter, whose eyes have started to clear up from all the pain and despair from a few moments ago. "Well, my dear boy, I suggest you get yourself up there to the mansion. Leave this forsaken city and your family behind and go live up there. If your grandmother was daft enough to let you be the sole benefactor of her estate, then I think you better count your blessings and take it. Don't you?" The camera slowly pans up on Peter, who raises a smile from here to eternity. Crikey. And his eyes begin to light up as the revelation sinks in. There's a big, bold line, which I assume means scene. Peter is driving his car through an old country lane. The sun is setting over the hills, and it's about to get dark soon. He arrives at a local village. "Perhaps I'd better stop here for the night," he thinks. "I can finish my journey to the mansion in the morning." He parks his car and notices a small little pub that looks a delight to spend the night in. The sign swinging above the door reads, "The Goat's Head." As he enters, he sees a cozy fireplace roaring, hot stew on the stove, and the ales look divine. It's so cozy. "Ah, hello," he says as he reaches the bar. "I'd like a room for the night, if I may, and a glass of your finest ale." "Leave this place and never return," the bartender snaps. "We don't like strangers around these parts." "Oh, Fred, please," the landlady interrupts and looks at Peter. "Excuse my husband, he can be a little rude sometimes. A room for the night, is it?" "If you please, and a pint of ale if it's not too much trouble." A few minutes pass and a large hand slams a drink on the bar. "There you go," she snaps. "Enjoy it, as it might be your last." Sorry, that was he, the rude man, not she. He turns away and distinctly whispers, "You maggot." There's chatting and playful laughter heard throughout the pub. Everyone is enjoying themselves. "Where are you heading to?" the landlady asks. "If you don't mind me asking." "Not at all," Peter replies. "I'm on my way to the old manor estate." the pub falls desperately silent. Glasses can be heard falling to the floor. A hat falls off one man's head. Old manner. The lady jitters as her hands start to tremble like a Morris dancer. Yes, is there a problem? The lady snatches the beer out from his hand and throws his car keys back at him. I think you better leave. Be on your way if you don't mind. Yes, but she said on your way, the barman growls as he crushes a walnut with his bare hands. Peter gulps and grabs his things. Yes, well, I suppose I should be going anyway. Thank you for the drink. He tips off his hat and to the landlord he says, good evening, and then he leaves.
Ooh.
Whoa, what is going to happen at the old manor, John?
Spooky
Muscles
shit.
Muscles Tom.
I hope they don't have Wi-Fi.
This sounds like Muscles Tom back on form to me.
I mean, he's in his wheelhouse. Spooky,
he really is.
Spooky
is,
buildings.
I love the departure to action, but having Muscles Tom back in spooky buildings, I just feel safe. Ironically, I feel safe. I can't wait for part two. John, should we quickly do our ideas?
Yes, please.
The Running
Multiverse
Man.
Of Magnus.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is responsible. Arnold Schwarzenegger is responsible
Doctor Strange
for the dance craze of the 80s.
Yours is good. Mine was Multiverse of Magnus. Doctor Strange travels through dimensions to find a really good cider.
He's pissed like Thor in Love and Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
This is just like a hammered Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, lovely stuff.
I'm really into
that. The image of Arnold Schwarzenegger trying to dance. Love it.
Yeah, I thought great big Mr. Olympia Arnold Schwarzenegger creating the Running Man would be quite funny. Well, his thighs would just rub together, right? So
they'd rub
so,
together.
The chafing would be unimaginable. That's I'd the only reason I'm not that size. So I'm so scared of chafing.
Because you love to do the Running Man.
I love the Running Man. I love the Running Man too much to commit myself to bodybuilding. It's a shame. It's bodybuilding's loss is
it's the Running Man's
80s game. Dance crazes game. John, what do you think was the best idea this week?
Should we give it to Muscles Tom? He's back on form.
Muscles Tom's back. He's winning awards. We need to leave this Zoom because into the Zoom call comes three of the undead to eat my brains. Hey, John, well done. I thought you did really well.
Thank you. It's a rare evening record for us.
It's a different energy.
Different energy.
I don't mind
definitely it. Different vibe. No, I'm having a great time. Normally we're a mid-morning record. Mm. Listeners, you can probably tell from the sort of energy that we're exuding that we're normally recording in mid-morning, but yeah.
Yeah.
This evening,
you can hear the birds singing. It's an exactly. evening, which means my usual seat isn't a million degrees, it's only half a million degrees. Before we go, John, I would like to plug a podcast called Mixtaping Identity, which I was a guest on last week.
How dare you cheat on me?
Well, I actually saw it more as a promotional tool for the Dream Factory.
Oh, thank you.
So it would be like if I was having an affair, if I was in a relationship and I had an affair with someone that was beneficial to the relationship, like a plumber who was fixing the pipes. And you would say, that's okay.
Yeah.
He's fixing the pipes. He's giving us how much of a discount?
Exactly. Okay. I like it.
It's really fun. It's kind of like Desert Island Discs. You create a playlist based around 15 set questions, and on the Monday the playlist goes live ahead of the episode going out on Thursday when you talk about the tracks and why you chose them, and that's out now, so you can search Mixtaping Identity to find my episode and lots of episodes with actually good famous people. And one of my songs, John, he said was the second best ever choice on the show.
Whoa, that's a lovely tease. I need to listen. I will listen and I will get back to you.
Let me know what you think, because I was quite nervous to do it because I don't really know how to talk about music. I text you this at the time, other than saying, I like this song because I like when I hear it. Next song. I really like this song because when I hear it, I like it. And I was worried. Some of the episodes are so long. Some of the episodes are like 90 minutes. And I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to say more than that on every song. But I really enjoyed doing it, and I think it was good fun, and I will never listen. So go and listen, people. Enjoy it. Let me know what you think. And then listen to the other episodes with really good guests. Well done, everyone. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.